Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Look at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Appreciate you giving me an introduction there, Brent. Romans chapter 12. Beautiful passage of Scripture. You ought to memorize it. It's one of the ones you ought to memorize. It was one of the ones I memorized before I knew how to read. You can teach your kids how to memorize Scripture. You know, they can learn Scripture when they're very small. And it might make a difference in their life. Amen. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Amen.
I want to talk about the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. This passage here talks about, I'd say there's about five or six natural divisions in the passage, obvious points that ought to be made. I'll tell you that he's gone to a lot of trouble in the first 11 chapters to tell you all about the mercies of God and the plan that God had for salvation, and it just doesn't get any better than that. You read the book of Romans and find out how you can be saved and what salvation is. The mechanics of it goes into all the details. It's a deep theological treatise on salvation. And anybody who ignores it or pretends that you can find out more about salvation in the Old Testament or in the book of Acts or something, no, man, get to Romans to get some understanding of what salvation is. It's a very important. But he gets down to the end and he says, therefore, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And then he says it's a reasonable service.
Right.
That's perfectly rational. It's perfectly reasonable.
Amen.
And I think that's a very important point to make, that you ought to give your life to God because that's reasonable.
Amen.
And reasonable in the sense, first of all, that it's rational, that it's logical. You owe God. I mean, God, everything belongs to God, right? So you owe God.
Amen.
So it's reasonable. But it's also reasonable in the sense that it's not extreme.
Right.
It's reasonable. He's not putting a huge burden on you. Just give him your life. How difficult can that be? Just give him your life and let him be the leader of your life, the Lord of your life. Now, all that's very important. But I do want to point out this idea about the will of God as our ultimate goal. This will of God, he says, you need to prove it. And I think that means, I don't think it means like a mathematical proof or a proof in a court of law. I think that just means try it, test it, experience it. The will of God. The will of God. But in order to talk about that, I'm dividing it up into four ways. First of all, human agency. We can call that creation. God created us with a will. And second, revelation. God has a will. By the way, God has revealed his will. He does have a will. And third, deprivation. Wow. Deprivation. There's something wrong with us in that we resist God's will. And that's a dark thing. And then, of course, salvation, which is reconciliation with his will. Let's talk about these things. Let's go ahead and start off in the Lord to bless us. Lord, I ask you to touch us. I ask you with your spirit to fill us with your understanding and make us understand what we could not understand by ourselves, Lord. Your spirit reaches all the way to the heart. You can make us hear your word and follow it. If there's someone here that doesn't know you as Savior, Lord, even this young person that stood up and said she's not quite sure, but that's all right, Lord. I ask you to make things clear. All of us need to be clear about this thing. God, I ask you to bless. And I ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Did you know that God made you with a will?
Amen.
And maybe that seems, you know, old hat, something that doesn't even need to be said, but I think it needs to be said because they've been trying to figure it out now for probably close to 100 years, the idea of how to make something have its own will.
You realize all this talk about artificial intelligence? You know, you've heard about AI, and they're constantly advertising this is powered by AI, you know, or whatever. I don't know if you've ever gotten onto these little, I've downloaded them, the ones that are free. I don't get the latest iteration because that costs $20 a month, but I get the last one that's free. And I always am asking this artificial intelligence chat thing, and I ask it questions, and I'm telling you, these things aren't that bright. They're just not that smart. And I've studied up on the whole subject of it, and the idea is to make a computer think for itself and have its own sense of identity and personhood so that it can have its own will, and they're not even close. Making something with its own will is just not that easy. It's not automatic, and I can tell you this, it doesn't just happen. And it didn't happen with humans either. It doesn't just happen. By the way, nothing just happens. Amen. I don't know where people got that idea that stuff just happens. But no. Worlds like this world don't happen. They just don't happen. I mean, you take a picture of it from outer space, it's blue. And you don't find that in other planets. There's not blue planets. Why? Because it has got so much water in it. And they're trying to figure out how come it has so much water in it. I'll tell you why. Because it didn't just happen. Amen. It was made. Amen. God made this world. And I'll tell you what, you didn't just happen either. Right. God made you. Let me tell you, I guess I've mentioned it before, there are three levels of creation. And they're all stupendous. They are all astonishing. Three levels of creation. The first is the physical creation, which is, you know, the outer space, it's the universe, it's the stars and the planets and the galaxies and the nebulae and all the stuff out there. And there's a bunch of stuff. There's pulsars and there's quasars and there's, and then also all the way down into the smallest regions, you've got the electrons and the protons and the neutrons and the gluons and the muons and the morons and the, all those things. All kinds of stuff. And we're not real sure about a lot of it. Amen. But that's the physical creation. That didn't just happen, by the way.
Right.
Universes don't just pop into existence. No, somebody created this universe. It's a supernatural event that people are willingly ignoring, pretending that it could possibly happen without any creator. No, that's not even reasonable, people. Just pay attention. God created this. It's a physical creation that required the investment of energy and intelligence and laws that are so precisely calibrated so that worlds would exist. Amen. That comes from a super intelligence and with great and tremendous power that could put us on this, in this universe and cause all this to exist. That's the first level of creation. There's a second level that's even, it's orders of magnitude more sophisticated than that. Because all the laws of nature, they say there's four fundamental forces in nature, whatever, gravity and the strong and the weak nuclear force and the electromagnetic force. And they give it how it all has to be coordinated and calibrated and whatever. But think about the biological creation. And that is where God puts together this code, this digital code. A quaternary digital code that's found in every living cell. And it creates the cell, and it creates multicellular organisms, and it replicates itself, and it grows, and it turns into these huge organisms. Amazing stuff! This is beyond astonishing. This is creation. And by the way, folks, it didn't just happen.
Amen.
No, the DNA code did not just poof into existence. I asked an evolutionist one time, I was on one of these little debate things, and I asked an evolutionist, I said, can you give me an example of actual evolution? Not natural selection. We know natural selection exists. We know that some adaptation happens, but I'm wanting an example of evolution, something you can say this happened because of random mutation in the genetic code that created a new organism or a new organ or a new function or something valuable. And he said, yeah, there's some rats over there in Arizona that had a mutation in their genes and now they're a different color. And I said, well, that's not what I was looking for, because changing the color could be just one little change in your genetic code. That's not writing new code, folks. That was the only example he had. I asked him for some other examples. He had no more. You know why? There aren't any.
Amen.
There's not one example of evolution happening by random mutations. No genetic, functional genetic code happens by accident. Not once, not ever. It hasn't ever happened, and it never will happen. And you know, you knew this intuitively. I had a guy tell me, he says, how do you know that? You're not a biologist. I said, well, no, I'm not a biologist, but I'm a programmer. And I know that programming code does not happen by accident. I know that. And intuitively, I can tell you, no, that does not just happen. You can't roll the dice a million times and come out with a computer-coded program. You can't do that. It just never happens, and it can't happen because it requires creation. And God created the second level of creation, which is biological life. But there's a third level of creation. And that's where God creates spiritual life. And that's where people exist that are different from God and have their own personality and their own personhood and their own identity, and they know who they are, and they have their own will. Their own will. And they have not invented that either. And it doesn't just emerge from complex brains. No, it has to have been created and put there. All right. Well, that's my take on creation. I'm not going to be a university professor anytime soon. So, I'm sure somebody else could do a better job of that. But I will tell you, I am certain of this. I'm certain that God created spirits. He created people, and those people have their own will. You are not a robot.
That's right.
You are not the product of a bunch of genes trying to survive. I mean, I know that's the idea, but no, that's not the case. You were created and you have a personhood, you have an identity, and you have your own will. That is a huge development. That's a huge piece of creation, that God makes people who are independent of Him and have their own will. And I don't know how He did it, because I don't know how to do it. I can't do it. I can't invent a robot to make that happen. He knows how to do it. He made people in His image that can think like Him and that can make decisions like Him and that know right from wrong like Him. And they can make all kinds of decisions in their life, and they are not guided. They are not forced by Him. They're not pre-programmed in like every computer program is. Even all the artificial intelligence, all pre-programmed. They're not making their own decisions, folks. Computers are not going to take over the world. Bad people are going to use computers to take over the world. But computers aren't going to do it, because they just don't have a will. But you do.
Amen.
You can decide to go to church this morning.
Yeah.
Or not to. You can decide to worship God or not. You can decide to sing or not.
Right.
You can even decide not to sing after they badger you. You can go against the grain. You can be nonconformist. You can say, I will not conform. I'm not doing that. I know that's hard. There's all kinds of impulses and pressures and peer pressure and trying to make us conform, but you have your own will. You don't have to do it. You don't have to agree. I'm standing up here and I'm telling you stuff. You do not have to agree. You can just say, I disagree. That's why preachers, we try to say, well, look, I'm not absolutely certain, and you're welcome to disagree. But here's my point, my take on it. Brent did that several times this morning. He said, here's my take on it, and you're welcome to disagree. And I think that's wonderful. Disagree. Have your own opinion. That's wonderful. I don't want to control your thoughts. This isn't a cult. We're not trying to impose our beliefs on you. If we could convince you, that's great. If we can't, you got your own will. You've got your own mind. Make up your own mind. I'm glad my children are all independent, thinking on their own, making their own decisions. They don't call me up all the time saying, what should I do? I don't know. I don't know what they should do. Make a decision. And by the way, don't be afraid to make the wrong decision. Everybody makes wrong decisions. But it's your decision. It's your will. God made you capable of making a decision.
Amen.
And He's going to make you make a decision. You got no choice. You have to make a decision. You have to make a decision about who your friends are. You got to make a decision, well, you know, what, who are you going to vote for? You got to make all kinds of decisions. You got to make a decision about what kind of food you're going to eat, or what kind of job you're going to get, or who you're going to marry, or what, how you're going to raise your kids, or, you know, what you're going to do this morning, or what program you're going to watch. You make decisions all the time. You have to make decisions. And you can't put it off and say, well, I was born this way. No, you made a decision. And if you made a decision, don't blame your parents. If you made a decision, don't blame your genetics. If you made a decision, don't blame the government. And don't blame God. God made you a human agent that makes his own decisions.
Amen.
But there's another point. God also has a will. God's a person, by the way. He's not an unknowable force. You know how people talk nowadays? They don't want to be religious. They don't want to be confused with ignorant religious people. So they'll say, the universe told me. What? The universe told you? You have an ongoing conversation with the universe? No, that's ridiculous. The universe isn't talking to you. You're making your own decisions. But let me tell you something. God does have a will. He has a will. He has a desire. He has an idea. He has a plan. He's got his own thinking. He's got his own perspective. And he has revealed it to us. It's called revelation. And he's revealed things by creation. We know a lot about God just by creation. We know he's a lot bigger than us. Boy, that we know. Because this, whoever did all that, man, that's, and we also know he's a lot smarter than us.
Yeah, amen.
God's a lot smarter than you are. And he's been around a lot longer.
Amen.
He has experienced people like you before.
Right.
Even if he didn't know the future and hadn't planned everything out, even if he didn't, he could still probably outfox you, outsmart you, because he's got an awful lot more practice than you do. But he doesn't even need the practice. He is extremely intelligent. And you know, he's also good.
Amen.
He's also righteous.
Amen.
He's holy and pure.
Amen.
And he had an idea for this creation. Like, for example, when he created marriage, he had an idea about what that should be like.
Yeah.
And he tells us what marriage ought to be like in the Bible.
Amen.
But you know, it's amazing. People don't like that. Did you know that God has a will and that he revealed it to us? That God has told us, this is what I like. Now listen, this is obvious, there's a conflict between wills. Because if God has a will, and we have a will, and we are independent, my will is not a robotic imitation of God's will. I don't just do what I'm pre-programmed to do. God made me capable of making my own decisions, which means I've got a different perspective than God, automatically, inevitably. I think differently than God. Obviously, I'm stuck here on this planet. I can't see what he can see. I can't have the same perspective. I don't see the end from the beginning. I see my little narrow point in the universe, in time. I see this very small thing. And so I have a perspective. And perspective makes a big difference. It's your perspective. God's got a different perspective. But did you know that God wants you to have a different perspective than him?
Yeah.
He's not expecting you to see things, everything like he sees them. Of course not. He's extremely wise, and he's been around so long, and he knows the end, and you don't know any of this stuff. All you know is what's put in front of you in your lifetime. That's all you know. And God does have a will, and he explains it to us in his book, and he explains it to us in creation. So we know that he's got a will, and we know that sometimes our will conflicts with his will. But that's not always bad. Did you know that's what prayer is about? I don't know if you realize it, but prayer isn't just, Lord, whatever you will. Prayer is about you telling God what you will.
Yeah.
Prayer is about you talking to God honestly, frankly, Lord, I would rather this. It looks like your will is that, but I would rather this. And so you're saying, I see it differently, God. I know you've got a big picture, and I do this all the time. I pray, when I pray to God, I tell him, Lord, I know you've got big plans and a big picture, but I got this small picture, and it's important to me, and this is the way I would like it to happen. Yeah? Yeah. Have you ever had a child get sick, And you have to say, well, God, you know, your plans are way more important than mine. But you don't say, okay, Lord, if you want to take my child, go ahead and take her. No, I don't. I say, no, Lord, you can accomplish your plans some other way. Heal my child. Make my child well.
Amen.
I want you to give me what my perspective is. My will isn't all bad. The fact that I love my children in a very special way, and God has billions of them out there. He might look at it and say, well, I can accomplish this by using his child. And I say, Lord, no, I don't want that. I have a different will. And did you know that God listens?
Yes.
Amen. Isn't that amazing? He actually cares.
Amen.
About your will. He says, well, thanks for telling me. Not that he didn't know, but he appreciates you opening up and telling him your thoughts. Tell him, Lord, I would rather this, or I would rather that. Lord, I would rather, you know, certain such a fella get elected rather than that other fella. Or I would rather my boss not make this one decision. Or I'd rather my wife treat me nicer. Or I would rather, you can ask God almost anything. Because God is interested in your point of view. So there is a conflict between our wills that is not wrong. It's a natural, automatic, inevitable thing that you're going to see things differently than God sees them. And God wants to know. He tells you to tell him. He says, you want the peace that passes all understanding? He says, make every request known to God. Every request. Make it known to God. What do you want? You want more money at your job? Just talk to God. Ask him. Now, he doesn't have to give it to you. But at the same time, he does say, ask me. And you know something? God often hears your prayer and gives you what you want. He has to me often. He's also told me no sometimes. Devastatingly. Break my heart. And that's where you have this decision where you're going to either accept his will or not. Now, the third point that I wanted to make is that there is deprivation. We have a certain depravity in us that makes us darkly resist his will.
Amen.
And it's an unreasonable corruption.
Amen.
In our thinking.
Amen.
It's not like we have a different perspective and so we want something wholesome, but God's got a different plan. And so we have that little conflict between our wills. And so we pray and we come out, you know, at the end of it, we come out. But that's not what I'm talking about. There is something wrong with people in that they are, for some reason, desirous of the ungodly.
Amen.
Amen.
They crave what God hates. We. I say they. It's we, the people in this room.
Amen.
We have an evil depravity in our minds and in our thoughts that make us want what God doesn't want. And even want what God hates. And you know what I'm talking about because you've had those thoughts.
Amen.
You want vengeance. You have hatred in your heart. You have these things. You have crazy, wicked, horrible lusts. Desires that God would never even broach in his mind. They would never come up.
Amen.
Doesn't he say that? He said, I never, never once thought about that. When he's talking about those Israelites offering their children into the fire. He said, that never crossed my mind, God said. Where'd you come up with that? Where'd they come up with burning their children in the fire? Where did they come up with that? It's a depravity. It's an evil in us. And you've got it too. We've all got it. Oh, there's a real problem with our will. Our will has gone off the deep end. It's gone to the dark side, they say. Gone to the dark side, right?
Amen.
Boy. It's amazing. And it's so unreasonable. It's so self-destructive. It's so... demented. It's mental illness to a great degree. I mean, why else would you harm yourself? Why would a 15-year-old girl cut herself? Why? It's usually because of sexual abuse. Did you know that? Psychiatrists, they've got some things figured out. But why do people harm themselves? It's a mental illness. So why do you harm yourself? I mean, why do you drink? Why do you do drugs? Why do you smoke weed? Why? Just to harm yourself? Why do you gamble? Do you not realize these things are self-destructive?
Amen.
Why do you smoke? I mean, they get these little kids, and they get out there, and they're all passing out cigarettes to each other. And why would kids do that? Do you not realize that smoking hurts you? Yeah? You want to be an athlete? You can't smoke. Not if you want to compete. Why do people do that? It's evil. It's evil. Why do you hate? Why do you want vengeance? Why do you always want the fight? Why do you always want to argue? Why do you always want the more stuff? Why are you so greedy? Why aren't you satisfied with what you've got so that you can actually give stuff away? Why can't you just be like you know God would like you to be? Why can't you be like God? Because you have an evil in you that causes you to desire darkly the ungodly. You want what God hates. It's in you. And it affects you every day.
Yeah. Amen.
That's why it's so foolish to think you can be saved by good works.
Right. Amen.
It is so foolish because even your good works have that darkness in them.
Yeah.
Dark motivations. And even if you were to be only good, those dark motivations, if all you ever did was good stuff, those dark motivations and dark thoughts and the pride of your heart and all that stuff gets in there and corrupts everything. You cannot please God by your works because you have a dark side. That's the unfortunate thing. There is a deprivation in people that causes them to desire ungodliness. And you fight it every single day. So now I'm going to get to the point of salvation, which is your reconciliation with God's will.
Amen.
Now I know that if you go to seminary, you read a book, it'll tell you, you know, there's different kinds of God's will. You got his permissive will and his directive will. And I can't remember. I've read that stuff, but I can't remember what it's all called. So I'm just going to go with what the Bible says here. He says it's a good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Amen.
So let's just talk about those three aspects of God's will, because this is what salvation is. It's reconciliation with God's will. First of all, God's good will. We could call it his sovereign will. It's like God made decisions in your life and he gave you no options. Did you know that? Did you know that God makes decisions about you and he doesn't ask you your opinion? He made you male or female. Not something in between. Not both. And not flexible. You're either male or you're female. And did you know God did that? You didn't decide that. And the doctor that wrote it down on your birth certificate did not decide that. And if you have questions about it, I feel for you. That's mental illness. You're male or you're female. God decided that. God made that decision. That's the good will of God. Did you know that's a good will?
Amen.
That's good will of God. God made you female. And I don't care how unfair that is in your mind. It was a good will.
Amen.
God gave you something good. If God made you male, ooh, God gave you something good. I know your grandkids love your wife more than they love you, but it was still good. God gave you something good. You know, you didn't decide where you were going to be born.
That's right.
Yeah. You're born in Texas? That was a good will of God. You're born in Michigan? That was a good will of God. You can't argue with God. It's a good will. Did you know God wants you to embrace his good will?
Amen.
Whatever he decided. He made you ugly? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You don't have all them beautiful women chasing you. Yeah, but he made you how you look. He made you healthy or he made you unhealthy. Good will of God. He gave you really good teeth or he gave you crooked teeth. You're all buck tooth. And you say, that's not fair, God. No, God says, no, that's good. I like the way you look.
Amen.
Does that really not make sense to you? That whatever God did to you, it's good.
Amen.
Do you realize that if God had made you a stump, a scab, a running sore all your life. It's God's good will. You don't have any right to complain. But He didn't make you a stump. He made you a person with blessings and all kinds of things to give thanks for.
Amen.
Not everybody can be born in Texas, folks. But God gives them good things. And those are the good will of God. He gave you the ability to eat food and taste it.
Amen.
He gave you the ability to see color.
Amen.
I mean, that's not natural. You know, there's no real difference between blue and yellow except the slight difference in the wavelength. And we're talking about a billionth of the difference. It's just like, it's nothing, very little difference, but one's blue and one's yellow, and you see it. You notice it. You get to see all this stuff. It's amazing. This is the good will of God. Whatever God decided in your life. How about that woman you married?
Amen.
Did you know that's God's will? That's God's will. Sorry. She was beautiful to you at one point. Did you know it's God's will for you to be faithful to her? Did you know it's God's will for you to love her? Did you know it's God's will for you to love her as you love yourself?
Amen.
You say, yeah, but I've fallen out of love. Well, fall back in. It's a command of God. You don't get to decide these things. It's God's good will. God gave you really smart kids. Praise the Lord. God gave you really dumb kids. Praise the Lord. Those are the ones God gave you. You ought to be thankful for them and say, God, your will is good. Did you know God's will is good? And you can say, thank you, God.
Amen.
That's why Job did not sin against God with his lips.
Amen.
Whatever God decides, that's his will. He doesn't ask my opinion. He's sovereign. He does what he wants, and I trust that it's good.
Amen.
Did you know the Bible says that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord? To them that are the called according to his purpose. All things work together for good. There, God is not going to make you, not going to harm you by his will.
Amen.
His will is going to bless you. Your will harm you, yes. But not his will. Not his will. That's not going to harm you. You can trust God.
Amen.
What if your government falls? That's what was happening here. I don't know if you realize that. These Jews were about to lose everything. And he says, by the mercies of God, submit to God's will. That's what I'm trying to tell you. This is not going to be pretty. Do you realize what they were going to go through within about 5 or 10 years? What they were going to go through as a Jewish nation? Whew, they were going to go through some hard times. Well, what happens if it happens to you? Can you then react like Paul is telling them to react and say, God's will? God's will, and God's will is good. Okay, that's his permissive will or sovereign will. I don't know. I don't know how they divide them up. But according to this part right here, it says his good will, and that you got to reconcile to that. God made you a male. God made you a female. God made you ugly. God made you good looking. God put you in a very rich country. God put you in a very poor country. God gave you real gifts, or God gave you almost no gifts. Whatever it is, God did that to you. That's God's good will.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
But there's another point. He says acceptable will. Did you know that God has certain things he considers acceptable? That's his will. And some things are unacceptable.
Amen.
Ooh, think about that. God has some things he considers acceptable. Now, he's not making a decision for you. But it's your job to discover what is the acceptable will of God. He says prove it. That means experience it. Find out about it. Experiment with it. Figure it out. What is acceptable to God? How about living your life finding out what's acceptable to God?
Amen.
In fact, you ought to ask yourself every time, is this acceptable to God? Because that's the whole point. If it's not acceptable to God, you don't want any part of it. You got to repress that evil nature in you that wants you to do things that are unacceptable to God. Because there's somebody over there saying, no, come on, it's okay, we do this, it'd be good, it'd be great. You don't know what you're missing. You don't need to know what you're missing. You need to figure out whether it's acceptable to God. I mean, he gave you 10 commandments to give you an idea what's acceptable. How about don't be lying, don't be murdering, don't be stealing. Don't be lusting after your neighbor's wife. Those things God saved, no, those are unacceptable.
Amen.
Did you know that? Some things are unacceptable.
Amen.
They're unacceptable. Like killing your baby. That's unacceptable.
Amen.
Getting drunk. Yeah, that's unacceptable. Taking vengeance. That's unacceptable.
Amen.
Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Not you. You don't repay. See, these are God's will. God says, this is my acceptable. This is what I'll accept, and I won't accept anything else. This is what you have to go by.
Right.
You can call it God's law. Or you can call it, you know, God's sovereign will. Or I don't know how to divide all these things up. I wish I was an intellectual. I could just line them all up for you. But I can tell you this. Some things are unacceptable to God. And it's your job as a saved person to know what is acceptable to God and what is not. And to live according to what is acceptable. And if it's not acceptable, then you just don't do it. Boy, there's an awful lot of things that are just not acceptable. Then the third one, his perfect will. We could say it's his ideal plan for you. Think about that. Because there's a lot of things that he says, that's acceptable. Do it. Do whatever you want to do. Go ahead and do it. That's acceptable. It's his acceptable will. You get to make a choice between a bunch of different choices. I mean, didn't he say to Adam and Eve, didn't he say, go, all these trees are yours. Eat anyone you want, except this one. One, unacceptable. All the others, acceptable. I mean, you like oranges, there's orange trees. You like apples, there's apple trees. And no, that fruit was not an apple. Had a lady tell me, she said, well, when Eve ate the apple, I said, it wasn't an apple. She says, yes, it was. No, it wasn't an apple. Well, how do you know it wasn't an apple? Because the Bible tells us what it was. Well, then what was it? It was the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. She didn't like it being that long of a name. Well, then, so what was it? It was the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. No, I know, but what was it? You got a lot of choices in life. And they're acceptable. Don't go to the unacceptable. Why would you go to the one tree he said don't?
Yeah. Right.
Why do you do that? Why do you go to the one place God says don't do that?
Right.
Don't go there. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Why would you do that? Why would you go there? You got so many other choices. The acceptable will of God.
Yeah.
But get past that. Where you start living your life according to what you think is acceptable to God by a sincere desire to find out, and not lazy, but looking it up and finding out and asking, is this okay? Is this okay? Can I do this? That's the acceptable will of God. But get past that to another point. And that is the perfect will of God.
Amen.
I mean, being right smack in his best idea for you. His best plan. He says, you have all these choices, but I got another one to offer you. Because that's what Paul did. He thought he was serving God according to the acceptable will of God. And then God says, I got a different idea. How about if I let you be tortured and persecuted and chased and you just give your life to me and I'll make it worth it. And Paul says, that's what I want. That's what I want. I've wanted it for a long time. It was hard to kick against the pricks. That's what I want. How about you, man? Don't you want God's perfect will for you? Just to be in the exact ideal spot where he says, you know, I've got a really good spot for you. Oh, man, I got a spot for you. It's going to be rough, but I'm telling you, it's going to be worth it. Can you imagine getting to the mature part of your Christianity where you could say, God, I want your perfect will. I don't want to just do what's acceptable. I want you to tell me what you want out of me. What do you want from me? I want that. You give me that? I came to that point when I was a young man. And it was a momentary thing. It was like, okay, I'm going to try to serve God, whatever. And then I realized God was calling me. He says, I want you to preach. And you know something? When he made that clear to me, there was nothing I wanted more. I want that.
Amen.
Someone, at one point, God looks over at my brother Eddie and says, hey Eddie, I got an idea. How about all them people in Zacatecas that haven't heard the gospel? How about if I give you an ideal spot for you? And Eddie says, there's nothing else I want. Or God starts talking to Brian and Judy and saying, hey, I got an idea what you could do instead of retire. Instead of retiring, why don't you learn a new language? You might not enjoy it that much, but it'll be worth it. And God says, I've got an ideal idea for you, and it's His perfect will. And you come to the point where you say, that's what I want. Can you imagine wanting anything else than His perfect will? His ideal situation, His idea, His creation, His creativity, His thoughts. After seeing everything, He says, oh, I got the perfect spot for you. And then you would say, no, I don't want that. Boy, if He gives you the idea of His will, you want it. You want it with all your heart. Don't let anything get in your way.
Amen.
Don't let anything stop you. Because God says, I got a good idea for you, and this is my perfect will. And you know, you can experience it. You can prove it. It says what it says. Isn't that what it says? Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Amen.
That's amazing to me. All right. Let's stand and let's sing number 385. If you have any questions about salvation, you want to talk to me, I am at your service. We're going to have a baptism after this song. And the meeting's not over. Let's get through the baptism. We go outside here and do that there. I do not have a hymn book. Number 385. I just remembered it. Let's stand and sing number 385 to end it out. And think about God's will in your life. His testimony here and his life. And anyone here else that's not saved, God, I ask you to talk to them and make it clear to them how wonderful it is to know you and to follow you.
Amen.
And bless us in our plans, I ask you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, we're going to go on out through those double doors there. We're going to wait around at the baptistry, and we're going to have a baptism.
Amen.